Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I don't want to go back to the Toyota Center. I don't want any of that. But we're reacting to that game, I guess you can call it, a mess. I don't know what to call it.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
40 to 24 after quarter one, Joe. And it felt even halfway through that first quarter like this team just had no shot in this one. You could feel it early, whether it's from, you know, Jimmy Butler and Steph not scoring, whether it was just the energy. It just felt like the Houston Rockets wanted it. They needed it. Their backs were against the wall. They are the more desperate team, and they played like it. And, you know, hats off to them. Got chippy towards the end. We'll get into all of it. The game, as far as I'm concerned, like there were some moments with the, you know, the comeback with the Pat Spencers and TJD and Şengün and all that. I guess that's a minor win that you got the starters back in the game late. But as far as the game goes, it was secondary to now you got a game six and you got to take care of business on your home court tomorrow.
That one's just, you know, you hear a lot like burn the tape, forget about it. Look, I understand that mentality. But to me, that's going to overlook all the great things that the Rockets did in this one that I think can carry over into the next game that you have to shore up. Like, Joe, they have to shore this up. Ball security in the half court. How many times did Thompson get right up into Curry's grill and just pick his pocket?
Yeah. Three turnovers for Steph.
And, I mean, it's just bad. Bad. I thought the pace was perfect for the Rockets. They did a great job throttling down when they needed to, staying in zone when they needed to, pressuring the ball in man-to-man situations when they needed to, fueling their transition game with big steals and big rebounds. They were getting shots in the paint, second chance opportunities, wide open looks from outside. And then once their confidence started to, you know, really increase, their shot making did as well. They hit so many crazy shots around the rim from deep. You know, they got Jalen Green going. They set a couple of really nice high screens. I thought the Rockets did everything that they wanted in that first quarter. And you could say, Joe, we look old and we weren't really trying and all that. That to me is not, that's not giving the opponent enough credit. I think that the Warriors looked very old. They have exerted a lot of energy. This is a different team with 2 days rest versus 1 day's rest. You know, there's a penance to pay for how hard you've had to play over the last couple of weeks and days. And the reality is that the Rockets now have tremendous confidence and they have a blueprint for what has stymied the Warriors. And they're going to get up into our grill and they're going to play great defense and they're not going to back down. And if they hit, they're not going to hit like this, but if they hit shots, their confidence is only going to increase. And their ability to play inside out and in the transition game, right now, we just don't have that in the bag. And so, yeah, I'm very concerned after that game. And God bless Pat Spencer for how hard he played. Like, the headbutt, we'll get to it. But, like, that guy was bringing it. And he's one of the few guys, and it's kind of the reality of where the Warriors are at, who actually looked athletic enough to play on the field, on the court, if you will, with the Houston Rockets. That is something that is not going to go away. And if Draymond and Quinn Post and Buddy and Pods and Butler aren't looking to shoot, we're in trouble. We have got to be squared up to the hoop and being a threat in the half court. That is the biggest problem for this team offensively right now. Not enough guys are ready to shoot.
Shout out to those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Brought to you by First and NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. You can hit us up there. You can hit us up at 888-957-9570. That's the number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Want to hear from the people today. 131-116. Warriors still lead the series 3-2, but now heads back to Chase Center tomorrow. Tip off at 6 o'clock, and coverage of that starts right here on 95.7 The Game at 5. So we'll have all that coverage leading up to that game. We'll be breaking it down all day today. We want to hear from you. Are you worried? Are you officially concerned after that loss? Or are you looking at it and saying, you know what? The Warriors played like, to me, I'm coming out of it and saying the Warriors played like a team that knows that they were up 3-1.
I don't even want to hear that.
That's fine. You don't want to hear it, but that's the reality. Like that, like this, Steph Curry,
that's
Jimmy Butler.
Out.
No, it's not. That's a fact. They were up 3-1. We've seen this already. 2022, this is the same thing that happened with the Memphis Grizzlies.
I don't buy
Dylan
that.
Dylan Brooks is also on that team.
I don't buy that.
The Memphis Grizzlies destroyed them. And then what happened in game 6? The Memphis Grizzlies got owned.
This is an older team with an already injured Steph and an injured, you know, Jimmy Butler. I understand that sentiment. Believe me, I'm not saying that there isn't an element of that, but I think that completely ignores all the great things that the Rockets did. And what's your excuse for the first quarter then? Oh, we just didn't want to play? Steph's had now 2 back-to-back bad games. Draymond's really been good for about a quarter and a half, if we're being honest, through 5 full games, right? Jimmy Butler's had moments, you know, full second half in the last game, which was brilliant. Game 1 was brilliant. But clearly, you know, he's a diminished player right now. You know, Pods, not a great game from him. Quinn Post completely regressed in this one. Doesn't mean he can't get it back, but like the Amen Thompson has gotten better and better and better. Fred VanVleet has gotten better and better and better. Şengün, Adams, they've had their way the whole series. There are things that you could say are outliers, you know, like Fred VanVleet shooting. All right. Well, then he's done it back-to-back games. You know, Jalen Green did it now in 2 of the games.
Jalen Green didn't have a great
game. I thought he was really good in the first quarter.
Shooting wise, he was 3 of 8 overall.
Yeah,
he had 11
points. Really
first quarter, but that's fine. But I think what Jalen Green did yesterday, he was like, I'm not going to shoot us out of this game. So I'm going to pick and choose my spots. His shot's still not quite there, but again, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc. You have 8 rebounds. And that's, again, Şengün is going to do what he does. He was an assist and rebound shy of having a triple double. I mean, some of that was due for having to come back late in that fourth quarter when the backup dubs, if you will, the C dubs almost. We're making that run, and if it wasn't for like 7 straight Braxton Key smoked layups, maybe they do cut it to single digits at one point, but they couldn't get it done. The Rockets end up holding on there late in the fourth after a furious rally from the Warriors. But even then, there was at no point where I felt really concerned that the Warriors were actually going to come back and win that game. And I don't think there was at any point where Steve Kerr was actually going to go back to his starters. I think he brought Buddy Hield back at one point, and that was about it. And again, you mentioned it earlier. We'll get to the Pat Spencer headbutt heard around the
Pat
world.
Spencer.
I know you
love
Draymond loved it.
Loved it.
Everyone.
And I
love
TJD's response in that entire situation.
Yeah.
I thought Dylan Brooks completely overreacted. I mean, for a guy that's known for physicality and he's saying some stuff in postgame that triggered a lot of Warrior fans. He had newsflash. If people know that you have a specific injury, they're going to go at it. It's pro sports. Mm. You know, these are adults. Look, I'm telling you, as an older guy who plays against younger players, and I'm not a professional. I'm not pretending like I am. But there are nights where you want to play hard, and because you're old, you just can't summon it. Right? And there's a penance to be paid when you fight as hard as you did the night before and the night before that to win those two games, and you don't have the prerequisite rest to get up and ready. And the youth versus the age really showed itself yesterday. And you know what? It's not getting easier. All right, you got game six at 6 o'clock. You got to fly back. You got to get ready to go. Like, I hear you. They knew they were up 3-1. And
they played like a team that for me anyways, I know it sounds like you're saying that's a cop-out, but it's just the reality. Like, when you have championship players and champions that have been here and done that before in the past, again, that's why I mentioned the Memphis Grizzlies series back in 2022, where they got blown out in Memphis, came back to Chase Center, and took care of business in six games. Like, I'm looking at this in a similar fashion.
Also, yeah, we kind of know we have, like, a game to play with, and I get, like, I know, like, that there are blowouts. Like, before the Jordan shot in the Utah Jazz, I think Utah won by, like, 40 or 50
yeah.
The game prior to that. Like, I understand that this is the natural ebb and flow of a series. That being said, there are some legitimate concerns if you're watching the game and being fair. Like, their size has bothered us every single game. Has it not?
No. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How about size the matters. On-ball defense on Steph Curry? Has that bothered him for the most part the entire series?
I don't know what's more bothersome for Steph right now, and he's not going to tell you one way or the other. Is it that defense or is it that thumb right now? That's that we all saw the picture of, by the way, and we get into it. Steph was asked about it. I know you saw the picture.
Everybody's hurt.
It's no, but I'm referencing the picture that it was leaked. Yeah. It was him getting off the plane and they zoomed in on his hand where I think it was his right hand and the thumb just, it looked like, you know, those jawbreakers. It looked like one of those was inserted in the top of his thumb. Just this huge ball. It's like, that can't be good. That can't be comfortable. And then he gets slapped in the hand yesterday in that first quarter. No foul was called, whether it was him and Şengün.
Well, he got hit by two guys on the three-point shot.
Two guys and once. And no call.
That happens. It's the playoffs.
And Steve Kerr talked about it after the game, and he was just like, yeah, you know, like that they haven't been calling that. You can, I guess, slap their hands. It's hopefully something the league will look into, you know, this offseason. But again, that's not an excuse. I'm just saying that's what happened early on in that game. And Steph, is it the thumb? Is it the fatigue? Is it just him being turnover prone? Amen Thompson had five steals at the half. Five steals. They were the more desperate team yesterday, and they played like it early on, and that's why they won. They dropped 40 in the first quarter, Joe. 40. They had 76 at the half in this game, and game one, they scored 85 in total.
I know. But, like, look at your first quarter scoring. Jimmy Butler, 0 points. Buddy Hield, 0 points. Both had a foul, okay? Draymond Green, who hit a couple of early buckets, I believe your first two baskets, okay? He had five, and he had a foul. Pajemski had three. Steph had two turnovers, two fouls, and 0 points.
Wasn't good.
This is the first quarter.
Yeah.
All right? So we can make excuses about tired. Look, I'll buy that in the second half. To start the game, the Rockets set the tone. The Warriors failed to execute. They were up in their grill. And you could give me the psychology of, hey, you know, it's a blowout. Just dismiss this. Amen Thompson's defense and their blitzing of Steph Curry situationally has been pretty freaking special all series. I think that is something that they're going to have to navigate, right? There are subtle changes to how the Warriors set up their zone by using Şengün at the top of the key as a screener to free things up for Jalen Green to start going downhill. That was a nice alteration.
These are
the little chess match moves. We could talk about officiating. We could talk about, oh, they're hitting crazy shots. And those are true elements of the game. But there are legitimate things that they have done that have stymied the Warriors that I don't know if we have an answer to.
888-957-9570. The one thing I expect not to happen going forward again was, you know, every single player on the Rockets outside of Jalen Green was just on fire shooting the ball. That is an outlier in this series so far. But again, if they do that again, I think you just tip their cap. Like, if they're going to be dropping 130, which is the most points ever scored by the Houston Rockets against said Warriors in the playoffs, like, sure, tip your hat. They'll probably beat anyone if they're doing what they did yesterday. Like, that's just one of those games where you take the L and you move on. You're back home tomorrow again, Friday, 6 o'clock, right here, 95.7 The Game. Chase Center is going to be popping. It's going to be loud. Get there early. We need your support there as we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios right here in San Francisco. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed again in San Francisco. It's Spadoni and Shasky. We want all your calls today. Start lining them up. Jimmy in Bayview, Dave in South City, Jason. We are going to get to you guys. And again, hit us up via call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. And we got some guests today. Daniel Lurie, the mayor, 9 o'clock, going to be joining us. And Steve Kerr, 5 o'clock. Can't wait to hear that. Steve Kerr, 5 o'clock today on with Willard and Ditz for his weekly. Can't wait to hear what he has to say about this. Because Steve Kerr's been here before, as we've mentioned, 2022. And also, against the Sacramento Kings, like it wasn't the same scenario, up 3-1. But I do remember, and this is what you don't want, they were up 3-2 against the Kings, and you and your brother were at this game. They're up 3-2 against the Kings.
At home.
At home at Chase Center, and what happened?
It was one of the worst games I've ever been to. It was a blowout.
Yeah, they got blown. That is what you don't want.
The crowd couldn't even get involved because the first quarter, like last night, the first quarter was all Kings. And trust me, the crowd tried to. And everyone was like, Chase Center sucks. And it's not, give us something to cheer for. I was there. I was ready. My brother was, he had a couple beers in him. He was ready to cheer.
Yeah.
There was nothing to cheer for. Look, first quarter is a problem right now. The Warriors have got to figure out whatever their starting lineup is. Maybe it's going back to Moody. I don't know. Like if you're looking for silver linings, like one of the silver linings is that guy, Moses Moody, he might not have his shot going every night. I know he's going to give me everything he has. Like, I love him. Pat Spencer, I'm not saying he's the answer. Believe me, I'm not. Pat Spencer can play in this series. His athleticism and size actually can play. I think he's a couple of minute, you know, guy. I think he can find some room. Guy Santos was not afraid yesterday.
No.
Now, Quinn Post had some atrocious minutes in this game. He did hit a couple shots. Okay, atrocious.
I thought his defensive lapses were the most glaring for me.
He's a rook.
He got a tap. No, I know, but we can call it. It's okay to say that. Like, this is a playoff series, and he's going to get picked on defensively as these things go on, if they even do advance. Like, he got picked on, and that's part of this whole process is you got a lot of guys first time through the playoffs. Like, that was a big game, and that was a moment where the more desperate team, the team that was down 3-1, knew that they needed to win. They did their job. Now it's up to the Warriors to counter. Because the last thing anyone wants, I know you don't want, is to go back to Houston. Because they will be playing with confidence. And if that happens again in the first quarter back in Houston, yeah, then you blew another 3-1 series lead. And that's what we're talking about. And that is something on Monday I do not want to be talking about.
This is where age is really starting to factor in. And they're to me, that first quarter screamed everyone was afraid to shoot. And in the second quarter as well. And their zone, like they know their defense is so dialed in right now. They know the personnel of the Warriors better than the Warrior fans do. They know who they want to leave open. They're like, hey, Pods, we dare you to have another 25-point game. Right? And Pods didn't have a great game. Like, I'm not mad at Pods. He's in his second year. Draymond Green has not been able to sustain offense, and he is the guy that they are going to dare to initiate offense at the top of the key as a dribble drive penetrator, or they're just going to let him shoot those threes. And they don't think he can hit enough to be able to make them have to go out and guard him. Jimmy Butler was really passive, missed a couple of shots, thought settled for some late shot clock stuff because things weren't moving. Their pace of play in the half court has been so constipated. And that's because of the Rockets' defense. They know the personnel really well. Now, Buddy made some plays in the second half that have me encouraged. Attacking the hoop, going at the rim. He's going to have to do that every now and then. He can't just go bombs away. And look, if Steph Curry is going to be a net negative as a turnover machine at the top of the key because of the unbelievable on-ball pressure by Amen Thompson, like, we are in trouble. I'm not saying the sky's falling. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all from last night. But there were some things that were really big issues that really reared their head that were also issues in the four preceding games.
What's the concern level at right now, Dub Nation? After that loss yesterday, you're still up 3-2 in the series. Back home tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Chase Center. Like, is it nothing to see here? Scheduled loss as far as you're concerned? Or is it, we might be in some trouble? Which one is it? 888-9-
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.